So let's continue in the sugya of Yaharig Val Yavar. So we went through 10 questions that we have to deal with yesterday, so let's start actually dealing with some of these questions. We'll try to go a little bit in order over here. So the Gemara started with the idea that b'kol misrap and chutz me'atzei asherah, that a person can get a refuah from anything except for the atzei asherah, except for using asherah wood to get a refuah. So one of the fundamental questions we have in that is, what's so wrong about using asherah wood to get a refuah? I mean, it's not saying b'kol misrap and chutz me actually doing avodah zarah, chutz me avodah zarah. That's what it says on the bottom of the page, on the last line of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, that you can get a refuah from anything except for avodah zarah. But atzei asherah is not avodah zarah. Avodah zarah would be bowing to the asherah tree, sacrificing to the asherah tree. Using the asherah tree as medicine doesn't seem to be a violation of avodah zarah at all. In fact, it's not so clear what violation of anything it is. What is the avera at all when it comes to getting a refuah from the atzei asherah? So there are several shittos in Rishonim as to what exactly a person is violating when he uses the atzei asherah. Rashi seems to assume. Where am I? B'kol misrapin, afilu b'isurena. At the very end, if you look at the bottom Rashi on the page, b'kol misrapin afilu b'isurena, lomen emar b'chol maldecha, yomra chav mishneim v'dayo, why does the Torah have told me b'chol maldecha? Let it just say b'chol nafshecha, and I'll know that nafshecha is more valuable than maldecha, so obviously you have to give up money also. Mefarish v'shapam shezachav, v'pam shezachav. Not everyone's the same. Some people value money more, some people value their life more. So that's why it says both of them, to tell you that you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than both of them, whatever is most beloved to you. But here it is, V'amisrape be'atzei asherah nira kimodeba. What's the problem between misrape be'atzei asherah? That when you use atzei asherah as a refuah, it makes it look like you are modeh to the avodah zarah, that you're willing to worship that avodah zarah. So it's not an act of worship, but it's an act that looks like an act of worship. So what's that? How would you categorize that issur? Is that avodah zarah? What is that? Maris ha'ayin? Something like that. It's not actual avodah zarah, but it looks like kimodeba. If you look in Tosos, chutz me'atzei asherah, says Tosos, and this is going to touch on one of the other questions that we need to deal with. Says those nearly the Myri Kigon Shein Yachal Esrape Misharetim El Bazeh. When is it usher to get a refuah using Atzei Asherah? That's only when the doctor says, I prescribe Atzei Asherah for you. But if the doctor says, I prescribe a tree, and the only tree you just happen to have available to you is an Asherah tree, then that's okay. Then you can get your refuah from the Asherah tree. It's only a problem if the Asherah tree is the only way to get your refuah. If it's the only tree that's going to work. Why? So says Tosus, because the Asi Lemiti Basra Avodah Zarah. Not that people are going to think that you're modeh in the Avodah Zarah, but people will start to think, or you yourself might think, that the Avodah Zarah has power. Meaning, if someone tells you, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, listen, you're very, very ill, and you're going to die unless you get salvation from the Asherah tree. So even though the using the Asherah tree may be done in a way that's not in a derech avoda, it's not a normal way of service of an avodah zarah, but you're going to start to think, wow, the Asherah tree has such kochos, it has such power, and you might come to be nota to start worshiping the Asherah tree. So what does that sound like? D'oraisa, d'rabbanan, how would you categorize that? It's not marasayin. It's not marasayin, because it's not that someone's going to think you're modeba. It's a little different than Rashi. So what is that? What does that sound like to you? Sounds like a gezeira d'rabbanan. It's a gezeira. Don't do this lest you come to do avodah zarah. So let's file that away, because one of the issues we have to discuss is it possible for an iser d'rabbanan to be Yehareg Val Yavar? I mean, if you think about it, there are only 3 Yehareg Val Yavars, and then there are 610 Ya'avar Va'al Yeharegs. So there are 610 mitzvos d'oraisa that you do not have to give up your life for. Is it possible that mitzvos d'rabbanan are going to be on a higher level than 610 out of the 613 mitzvos d'oraisa and are going to become Yehareg Val Yavar because they in some way resemble, somehow or another, Avodah Zarah or Gilui Raos or Shfichas Damim, that a Drabbanan could rise to that level. So from Tosfos it sounds like, Tosfos makes it sound like it's only Drabbanan over here, and nevertheless it's still Yaharik Val Yavar. So that is a second possible explanation. Any other explanation of what the Yisr might be?
Not the Yisr, I don't think it's a matter of Derais Drabbanan in the situation of why certain things are not. I think it's the type of Isser is definitely
good. That's certainly a possibility.
It's definitely the Isser,
but it's also possible to argue that even if things other than the big three can also be Harig Val Yavar, at least they would have to be Daraisa. I could hear both sides. Because if you understand Yaharik Val Yavar to be a function of how severe of an Avera this is such a terribly severe Avera that your life isn't worth living once you violate this Avera, well then, if the Avera is only the Rabbanan, it's hard to say it's that severe.
But it seems that the Avera itself, whether the Rais Rabbanan, is an Avera that is an infringement on a serious amount of morality, meaning especially what makes a Jew distinct is that we don't serve idols, right? And that morality factor of Gilui Raos and morality factor of killing another human being. So those are definitely the top three morality factors.
So anything that even resembles that, okay, I could hear such
that
a taina. We'll have to discuss. We'll have to see what the poskim say. We can certainly hear such a taina. We'll see if it sounds that way from the Rana. Is there any other reason why you might not be allowed to use Atzei Asherah other than it looks like you're being moda, or people might come to be swayed by the powers of the Asherah? Is there any other svara?
It could be that people who maybe worship Asherah will like almost be upset at you and like maybe go after you.
That you're going to be using their god for your refuah. Okay, I haven't seen that anywhere. I hear that. That is just bad for your relationship. It's like the Karban Pesach. You're going to be using their god for something that's for your own benefit. One possibility is what Ari was just saying before, that it's related to Avodah Zarah. So the Isser is to do anything that's even Avak Avodah Zarah. Do anything that even resembles Avodah Zarah is automatically included in the category of Avodah Zarah.
Yeah. Exactly. So we're going to categorize the chashash of this was like someone's like less than Amar Zayin, because it's like a person he has control of, what he's going to do, and that's going to be categorized with Avodah Zarah. So it's not really like
possibly that's what Rabbi Yonah writes like that in Shari Tshuva, and it has the din of Avaka of Avodah Zarah. Another possibility, many Rishonim write, and we'll see this in the Iran, lo yidbak biyadcha ma'uma min acherim. There is a halacha that you should totally disassociate yourself with any Avodah Zarah. It's an Isser Daraisa, it's a lav in the Torah. Lo yidbak biyadcha ma'uma min acherim. So that teaches us that all things that are shayich to Avodah Zarah, not only the Avodah Zarah itself, you should distance yourself from. And maybe, therefore, that's included in Yaharik Val Yavar as well. Because that's a lo sasei min haTorah that's associated with Avodah Zarah. It's not just a Marasayin, it's not just, right? It's a real lo sasei min haTorah that's associated with Avodah Zarah, and maybe that makes it Yaharik Val Yavar. So if you look at the Ran, I forgot to bring my Gemara. Is there extra Gemara Pesachim?
What's that?
What's that?
Shouldn't the Pesach get recorded here in terms of...
Gemara should have quoted the pasuk. Certainly would have made life a lot easier. That's true.
Was that clear? The Gemara didn't say that.
Right. In a chinami. That's a good question. That's what the Ran says, though. The Ran on Daf Hei Amud Beis B'Daf Hei Arif. The Ran writes, "Time Elav Mishum Dosi Lam Shuchi Basra." He says that it's nothing to do with that you might come to do the Avodah Zarah. You violated a law, Sasei. You violated a law of Minatara. That's what makes it Aser. Says the Ran, but wait a second. That's just a law, Sasei. Why does that make it so bad? The Aflag of the Lay say a law Bavodzara, Humamish Kavodzara, Vikulu Lavi Dila Amrin and Yaharik Val Yavar. Says the Ran, a Gvaldik Chiddish. That any time you have a lav that's associated with Avodah Zarah, even if that lav is not an actual violation of Avodah Zarah, it becomes Yaharik Val Yavar. V'chein l'rabban nami damru chutz me'avod zor gilir ha-shvichz damim b'kulu lavi b'givir ha-reis ha-min yahrag v'al-yavar. And also when the Gemara says later on that you could b'chol mishrap and chutz me'avod zor gilir ha-shvichz damim, doesn't just mean those three. It means those three and any other lav that's associated with those three. Now, pay careful attention. The Ran is saying any other love that's associated with those three. He does not say any other bad behavior or wrong thing or iser. Sounds like he's saying a love mida oraisa that's associated with one of those three would therefore become Yaharig Val Yavar. And he says, I'll bring you a raya. Now, the question is, we have to see if this is a good raya or not. Here's the Ran's raya. There is a Gemara at the end of Perek Ben Sora Mora Masech Sanhedrin, Dafayin Heim Ralef, about a Maisa Ba'adam Echad. There was a story with a guy, Shenasan Enov B'Isha Achas Velo B'Libotina, that a guy got a glimpse of a certain woman and he fell in love with her or lust, whatever, he had to have her. And he got sick. He got literally ill from his desires for this woman. Va'amru arofim, so he went to the doctor and he said, doctor, I'm sick. The doctor said, what's wrong? He said, I'm love sick. And the doctor said, okay, let me diagnose, let me examine you. And he said, oh, you taka are love sick, and ein lo takana ad sheti ba'elo. The only way to be cured is if she sleeps with you. So if she's willing to sleep with you, then great, then you'll be cured of your illness. Short of that, you're not going to be cured of your illness. So he said, oh, that sounds halachically problematic. I need to ask a shayla. So he went to the chum and they asked a shayla, can we do this for this guy? So amru chachamim yamos velo tiba ilo. No, let him die rather than sleep with this woman. Right? Let him die rather than sleep with this woman. Why? Yehareg v'al yavar. So it's gilei arayos. So then the doctor said, you know what? There may be another form of remedy over here. Tamal lufanav aruma. Let her stand in front of him unclothed. And that might do it. He might not have to actually sleep with her. Okay, got to ask a shayla. Yamus fal tamal lufanav aruma. Again, the rabbi said, we can't go for that one either. He's got to die rather than have her stand in front of him like that. Okay, went back to the doctor. Any other hope you have for me, doc? Anything else you can do for me? Doctor says, Tesapri ma'achore ageder. She should talk to him, and he doesn't even have to see her. She could be standing behind the fence, and they should talk. Meaning, they could talk on the phone. Presumably, it means talk in an inappropriate way, not just to stop, say hello, and talk about the Yankees, right? Presumably, it means to talk in an inappropriate way, in a sexually explicit way. So, yomus va'al tesapri ma'achore ageder. Again, they went to the rabbis. The rabbi said, "Sorry, can't go for that one either. He's got to die." So says the Ran. These things, these activities, sleeping with her, okay, but her standing in front of him, talking me'achorei ageder, is this gilei arayos? This isn't gilei arayos. He says, "Bevadei shedvar melu einim gilei arayos mamish, ela sha'over behem alav de lo sikrav legaloser v'shu lav begilei arayos." But it's a losase. It's a losase that's associated with gilei arayos, and that's enough to make it yarg valiava. Good? That's the raya that the Ran has from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that any lav, and again, he does not say any iser, including Drabani, just says any lav. It sounds like lav d'oraisa that's associated with any of the big three is also going to be Yaharig Val Yavar. No, why is it not a good raya? Meaning, how could one reject this raya? How could one ever argue on this raya? It seems pretty good. The Gemara in Sanhedrin seems like it's clearly talking about activities that are not themselves gilei arayos. And yet, the Gemara sounds like it's Yaharig Val Yavar. So any...
the geder, meaning if the guy in the Gemara Sanhedrin would see her unclothed, then who knows what he'll come to do? It's a geder that is around the person. So anything that may cause you to do the actual iser also would be under the following geder.
Okay, so you're willing to expand it, just not as much as the Ran is. Meaning you're willing to say, I agree that more than just the big three are Yaharig Val Yavar, but not necessarily any lav that's associated with them. It would have to be a lav or something that would actually lead you to do it, to do one of the big three. Good. The Sefer Tosafot Yom Kippurim suggests that the difference between that case and this case is what made the guy sick in that case? What made the guy sick in the case in Sanhedrin was that he had these inappropriate desires. He had these inappropriate thoughts about this woman that was also to him. What made the guy sick in our case? He got sick like people get sick. He had some sort of physical illness. Maybe if the Avera itself is what causes the illness, maybe then we're not going to allow you to become cured from the illness through the Avera. Maybe then we'll expand it to even non-Gili Arayos things. But maybe the Avera is not your fault. The illness is not your fault. The illness is not a function of the Avera. The illness is just the illness. You got sick because you got sick. So then maybe we're only going to say Yarg Val Yavar if it's actually one of the big three. Not if it's something that resembles one of the big three. Maybe you can make such a chiluk. Sfasemis suggests a different chiluk, but it's maybe not such a great raya. Sfasemis writes that this whole din of Gilei Arayos being Yaharig Val Yavar, what does the Gemara tell us further on in this Gemara? Where do we know that Gilei Arayos is Yaharig Val Yavar from? So the Gemara says in Amud Beis, we know it from Rotzeach, because that it's just like Ritzicha, so to Nara Marasa. Now, by Rotzeach, how do I know Rotzeach is Yarg Val Yavar? And how do I know Ritzicha is Yarg Val Yavar, the Shuch Zamin? No, that's how I know Gilei Arayos is Yarg Val Yavar, because it's Hukash Rotzeach. How do I know Shuch Zamin? Svara. Maichas Zamin Dach, Sumuksve, Domal Dom Dom Gavra, Sumuksve. So the svara works when you're actually going to, when someone's actually going to die. So how would I know that by Gilei Arayos you have to give over your life for a lav, for a simple lav? Meaning it doesn't even make sense that a lav would be included. If the whole source of Gilei Arayos being Yarg Val Yavar is from Ritzicha, and Ritzicha itself is only because of a svara, well, that svara only works when a life is actually going to be lost. You know, punching someone in the face might also be similar to Ritzicha. But is that Yaharig Val Yavar? No, because the svara doesn't apply. Maichas Damin Dach Sumuk Tfei doesn't apply over there, because certainly it's better for him to have a black eye than for me to die. So the svara doesn't apply over there. So to apply the svara randomly, to apply... The idea that even for a lav it's going to be Yarg Val Yavar to Gilei Arayos, you can't apply anything to Gilei Arayos. It's not going to be true about Ritzicha. What about the raya from Sanhedrin? So he says, it probably wasn't really a sakana. It was a melitza. You know, they asked the rabbis, here's this guy, he's lovesick and he can't get out of bed in the morning and he's depressed or whatever. So what did the rabbi say? Yamos, let him die. You know, he'll figure it out. You know, like, every teenager, when his first girlfriend dumped him, felt that way. He'll get over it. He'll be all right. He'll get through that. It doesn't mean Yamos literally that he could die. That's what Sfasemis suggests. The Rishonim don't seem to learn that way, right? The Ran clearly seems to be assuming that, no, Yamos is literal, that he was literally going to die.
The guy with Sfasemis, the doctor kept changing and making it less and less.
Right, so you get that you get that impression that it wasn't a serious diagnosis from the fact that the doctor kept on changing the diagnosis. Right, he kept on saying, okay, so maybe this will work or maybe that will work. But then, so I thought the most poshut reason why it's not such a good raya is, and it's also pointed out by the Achronim. Normally, if I'm going to get a refuah from Atzei Ashera, so I'm going to be violating the Avera in order to get that refuah, right? In that case, who's doing an avera? If she stands in front of him aruma, she stands unclothed in front of him, or talks to him in an inappropriate way, who's doing the avera? He's doing the avera, but so is she. So, yeah, it's one thing to tell a person that, you know, you don't have to lose your life for this, and you can violate the avera rather than lose your life. Yeah, that's when it's you. It's your life versus them. But what about when it's not just your life versus your Avera, but it's your life versus your Avera and someone else's Avera? Does she have a responsibility to do this and to degrade herself in such a way? To act in such a way that the Bnos Yisrael she prutzos? Gemara talks about that over there at the end of that.
Maybe she already did an Avera. Maybe she was not a manic. It's hard to say that.
Even if she did, would we require her to do further Averos in order to avoid this? Very hard to say.
Maybe she was a guy. Maybe she wasn't a bastard.
Ah, so Nafkamina would be what if it's a guy? Right, Nafkamina would be if it's a guy. If it were a guy, that would be that. What? So, okay, so that's... So again, the Ran seems to be convinced that any lav, again, based on the Tosfos, where it's just that you might come to be nota after the Avodah Zarah, it makes it sound like it doesn't even have to be a lav. Sounds like even Nisar D'Rabbanan that's associated with one of the big three would be included. So it's serious nafkamina, whether it's Nisar D'Rabbanan, whether it would apply to Yisurim D'Rabbanan. What are Yisurim D'Rabbanan that are associated with Gilui Arayos? Can you think of any Yisurim D'Rabbanan associated with Gilui Arayos? So Yichud. Yichud is Nisar D'Oraisa. It's not a Nisar D'Rabbanan, but with some people it's D'Rabbanan. Yichud is D'Oraisa, the Gemara says, with Arayos. Yichud Arayos is D'Oraisa. So if a person has Yichud with a married woman, or someone that's usher to him, like that, with someone that's Arayos to him, with a Nida, let's say, according to those that assume that Nida is Arayos, Machlokes Rishonim, whether Nida is considered Arayos or not. So Yichud with...
What does that mean, usher to him?
What does what mean?
Usher to him.
To sleep with him.
Mother,
but you're allowed to have yichud with a mother. That's exeris hakasuk. The Gemara darshins. So the chiben emesis ben av eno mesis. Why does it say that ben imecha not ben avicha? So the Gemara darshins that ben misyachid imimo eno misyachid mchal raisha b'torah. That a son and a mother can have yichud together, but you can't have yichud together with any of the other arayos. It's Gemara at the end of kiddushin. So you're allowed to have yichud with the mother, but typical arayos, like someone else's wife, you're not allowed to have yichud with, that's nisad araysa. Yichud with a single girl, who's not a nida, let's say, is nisad rabbanan. When were they goes to that nisad rabbanan? So that was based dino shel David was goes there. David HaMelech was goes there in yichud with a single girl. Why? What motivated David HaMelech to make such a gezeira? Because what happened in his own family with Amnon and Tamar, after Amnon, his own son, raped his own daughter, he said because she was so attractive to him, and he allowed them to have yichud together, he said, you know what, we got to put a stop to this. Even a tsunua like Tamar could have such a terrible thing happen to her, such a tzadekus and a tsunua, so it could happen to anybody, and therefore he made an isser of yichud with a pnuya. In a later generation, they made an isser of yichud even with a guy, Bezinu Shal Shammai V'Hillel, made a gzera, you're not even allowed to have yichud with a guy. So what if the option is yichud with a guy or die? So what should you do? Now according to the Ran, it's not a lav d'oraisa. So the chora, you should have yichud with a guy. According to the Bali Atosos, it sounds like even the Rabbanan, even Yisrim D'Rabbanan that are associated with Gilei Arayos would become Yahari Gval Yavar. Right? That's what it sounds like from the Bali Atosos. Another a case that might be enough community that we also is worthy of discussion in its own right is what about negia b'derechiba on a nida, touching a nida b'derechiba. So is that an isur d'oraisa? Is that an isur d'rabbanan? So that's machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether negia b'derechiba, touching a nida in an affectionate way, is considered to be the high school guy gives his girlfriend a hug. So is that an isur d'oraisa or an isur d'rabbanan? So if you hold like the Bali Atosos, it doesn't matter. It's Yahari Gval Yavar either way. Right? It's Yahari Gval Yavar whether it's Nisar D'Oraisa or Nisar D'Rabbanan. If you hold like the Ran, it's only going to be Yahari Gval Yavar if it's Nisar D'Oraisa. It's not going to be Yahari Gval Yavar if it's Nisar D'Rabbanan. So that would be Nafkamina Nisar D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan. This, or Negia even Shalobi D'Rechiba on Ishto Nida, when your wife is a Nida. So it's Nisar to be Negia be Ishto Nida. Right, so again, that's the same machlokes Rambam Ramban. Beis Yosef discusses. Maybe it's Yahari Gval Yavar. Beis Yosef quotes Rishonim in Kof Tzadi Hei that maybe if a woman is deathly ill, and she happens to be a nida, and the only way to save her is by the husband treating her, by the husband actually touching her in some way, taking her blood pressure or something, or I don't know, something like that. Beis Yosef quotes Rishonim, let her die. It's Yahari Gval Yavar. Mind-boggling, no? Kuf Tzadiyeh, they're actual Rishonim, let's say it this way. It's Yahari Gval Yavar. But if you assume, says the Beis Yosef, that it's only Nisar D'Rabbanan, so then it's no problem. Then you're allowed to take her blood pressure. If you assume it's Nisar, so he must be assuming like the Ran. That if you assume like the Ran, that it's only if it's a Lav D'Oraisa that it's going to be included as an offshoot of the Yisr of Gilei Arayos. But if it's D'Rabbanan, then it's not going to be considered an offshoot of Gilei Arayos. Good, so that's one issue, one of our 10. I think we just got, how many of our 10 did we just cover? I don't know if we covered more than one. But at least, you know, whether Yisrim, a few of them, whatever. We covered a few of our 10 issues just now, or at least partially covered some of our 10 issues. Another important discussion, the Gemara tells us that you're allowed to get a refor from anything except for Atzei Asherah. So we mentioned yesterday that, yeah?
So how, in terms of the Mazar, like how far do we go in terms of distancing to that pasuk, in terms of that Tosfos quotes?
Meaning, what's going to be a violation of that the Ran quotes, of L'Yidbak B'Yarcha Mu'uma?
The Ran quotes in terms of the, like, because wouldn't that be any, I mean, like, how do you define?
Probably any Hana'ah.
Any Hana'ah in terms of the Avodah Zarah?
Hana'ah from the Avodah Zarah, from the Cheftza.
Like associated with the Avodah Zarah, as you have a statue in a person's house. He enjoys the statue there.
I don't know if that's called Hana. If Mare is called Hana, seeing something is called Hana.
It's a nice addition.
It probably has to be something more direct, more physical.
What's an example?
In our case, you're rubbing on your skin, eating it.
Is there any example where you get Hana from?
Leaning on it.
So using it as like a.
To
hang your coat
on as an Israel,
you'd also be
Yehovah Yammer. Sounds like it.
Okay,
fine. Right, if you say it, sounds like it.
You still have a
Sherry
tree
nowadays? Unless maybe if you're Dafka being Mevazit, maybe not. No, we don't. We still have Sherry trees nowadays.
Be careful hanging your
coat. What?
Be careful hanging your coat.
Yeah, yes, you have to be very careful. So what if a person has a gun held to his head and is told, you got to bow down to this idol or I'm going to kill you. So the halacha is, you get killed, you don't bow to the idol. The guy couldn't control himself. He knows the halacha, but like he just couldn't do it. His yetzer got the best of him, and he bows to the idol. He doesn't get killed. Do we kill him now? Is he chayv misa? Or you have a guy who is deathly ill. He's suffering from this illness. And he's going to die from this illness. And he knows the halach is bakol misrap and chutz me'atzei asherah. You're not allowed to use the atzei asherah for a refuah. And he's going to die from this illness, and he knows the halach is he should die. That's the halach, but he wants to live. So he takes the refuah. So do we, let's assume he violated the yud bak b'yad chamu'uma. Do we give him malchus now? Do we punish him for what he did? Whatever you assume the answer would be, probably you would assume the answer would be the same to both of those questions. I mean, both of these cases, both the case where the gun was held to his head and he was told to violate Avodah Zarah, to bow to the Avodah Zarah, or the case where he was deathly ill and he needed to use the Atzei Asherah for refuah, they're both situations of Yaharig Val Yavod. So you would imagine that if a person makes the wrong call, does the wrong thing, if you would hold he gets punished in one case, you would hold he gets punished in both cases. And if you hold he doesn't get punished in one case, you hold he doesn't get punished in both cases. And obviously I'm saying this because someone's going to hold that he gets punished in one case and not the other case. And if you had to guess who that someone's going to be, who would you guess? The Rambam, probably, right? That's always the Rambam's easiest. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Yisodei Torah Perkei Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes, V'im Avar V'Nisrape, you have this guy who's deathly ill, and his only chance is Atzei Asherah. And he does it. He gets the report from Atzei Asherah. On Shinoso Beizdin Onesh Haro'ilo. Beizdin gives him the Onesh that he deserves. Whatever it might be. Malchus, whatever it may be. He gets that Onesh. That's what the Rambam says. Yet, when it comes to the regular din of Yaharig Val Yavar, the Rambam, and this is a major machlokas rishonim, but when it comes to a regular case where someone holds a gun to your head and says, bow to the Avodah Zarah, I will kill you, the Rambam holds that if one bows to the Avodah Zarah, he's potter. Why? Because he was an anus. And there is a rule, Torah says, Lenar losasadavar, and we learn anus rachmana patre. That if a person did something and it was beyond his control, it was out of his control, and he was forced into something, rachmana patre. He's potter for his actions when he's an anus. So the obvious kasha is, all the Akronim ask, what's going on with this Rambam? How could the Rambam on the one hand say that if you take the medicine to save your life, then you can get punished? It's not called an ones, then you can get punished. But if you bow to the Avodah Zarah to save your life, ones rachman apatra, you're off the hook, it's no problem. How can we make sense of that? So a whole group of Akronim, the Avni Nezer, the Yor Sameach, many others say that the chiluk is as follows. if they force you, let's say, to kill somebody, or to do Gilei Arayos, or to bow to Avodah Zarah, why are you doing that action? Who made the decision that you should do this action? You didn't make the decision to do this action. They made the decision that this is the desired action. And they threatened your life because they wanted this action to be done. So if you didn't do what they said, and you would get killed if you don't do what they said, so you're not going to get punished if you do what they said, because you're onus on the actual maisa. Meaning, even though halachically speaking, really you should have gotten yourself killed, but you didn't have the strength of character to let yourself get killed, so you bowed anyway to the Avodah Zarah, but you're bowing to the Avodah Zarah with a gun to your head. So you're doing the maisa ba'onas. They determined they want you to do this maisa, and they forced you into it. Granted, they forced you into it in a way where you had another option of getting killed, but they forced you into it. But when a person is sick, so he's sick, no one's forcing him to take the medicine. No one's forcing him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him sick. The medicine will save his life. The fact that he takes the medicine is his own decision. It's not someone seeking vengeance on him or someone trying to... It's his own decision to take the medicine. So he gets punished because it's like any other rotzeach that would get punished. Because you're doing an avera. You're on your own deciding to do this avera. This chiluk between being forced into something where the maisa itself is ba'ones versus being in a situation in life where you feel like you have this yetzer hara to make a choice is a chiluk that comes up in other areas of halacha as well. You had a question?
What's that onus she's getting from
exactly?
The onus?
For what? For being misrapi matzah shera? It depends which rishon you hold like. But let's say you hold like the rad, lo yidbok yarchum umas, so probably malchus. Probably. So this chiluk comes up in other places as well. The Torah says v'chai behem. So from v'chai behem we learn that for 610 out of the 613 mitzvos, yavor val yaharik, better to violate the aveiru than to get killed. So it could be that the Torah is only, this is only a makar, that the Torah does not command you to be mekayim mitzvos b'makom sakana. But let's say the sakana is not there because of the mitzvah, the sakana is there because of an illness. Maybe there's no source for the other 610 mitzvos that you don't have to get killed. Meaning maybe the chai behem is in the case of sakana. But maybe when the case is not sakana, the case is choli, the case is an illness, maybe that would be different. The Hafla quotes such a svar, and he says that the Shvus Yaakov says as follows. Let's say a married woman, is faced with the choice of dying or sleeping with another guy. And she sleeps with the other guy, right? So she become usher to her husband. Says maybe this is a chiluk. If a woman gets raped, a married woman gets raped, does she become us to her husband? Why not? It was known as. If someone holds a gun to her head, isn't she also known as?
No, it's the same thing.
She could have chosen to get killed.
No, but the same thing as the Avodah Zarah.
Right, that would be the same. That would be onus, and she should and she should not be asked to her husband.
Right.
Let's say someone holds a gun to her head and tries to mug her, or tries to, threatens her with something, and she says, "How about if I sleep with you instead?" It was her idea. But she was honest. There was a gun to her head. A guy says, "I'm going to kill you." He wants to kill her. He's not interested in raping her. She says, "If I sleep with you, will you keep me alive?" And he says, "Okay." So is that an onus? So if you're going to say this chilek, maybe there's a difference between when you make the choice and when someone else makes the choice. And maybe that would have enough kamina, whether it makes her asur lebayla. That if she's the one that made the choice, it wasn't the other guy's idea to rape her, to sleep with her, it was her idea, then maybe she'll become asur lebayla in that situation. Pischei Tshuva quotes a case He quotes a similar idea that let's say it's they're not forcing you to do the Aveira, they're trying to threaten you with something else, and you can get out of the threat by doing the Aveira. So again, that they might be different cases. If you can get out of the threat by doing the Aveira, but you're choosing to do the Aveira, that might be different than a regular case of onus. So that's the chiluk that the Achronim say in the Rambam. There's another chiluk the Achronim also say. Maybe we'll save that for tomorrow. We'll start getting into some of the other issues. Again, more runs tomorrow. We'll try to keep getting through all these runs tomorrow.
Big ones.
Yeah, big ones. Okay.